first one was, this church, this campus, has a heart for the underdog. That word, underdog, I think the first time I heard that was in Australia. So you all know what it means, right? The person who's marginalized. Thank you, Elsa. The person who's marginalized, the person who's not thought much of. This church has a heart for that. The DNA of this campus is that you have the heart for the underdog. That's something unique. That's something special. The second thing I heard was, enjoy it while it lasts. And what God was saying was, look at how many of you are here. On the surface, it can look discouraging, right? On the surface. But I heard the Lord say, enjoy it while it lasts. This intimacy. Because it's not always going to be like this. There will come a time where you have to scramble for a seat. So enjoy it while it lasts. Because of the new faces that will come. And even the old faces that will come. So this morning, I have a lot to say, but I'm going to keep it quite short. So we're doing a series called Encourage. This is part one. A few years ago, I had a dream. And in this dream, I woke up to find there were all these goods, white goods, furniture, on our driveway. Lots of them. And I asked the delivery guy why he left all those things there. And he said it was because you were asleep when I knocked on the door. And then once the stuff was delivered, it was time for installation of the machinery, in the laundry in particular, which is a place of cleansing and purification. Problem is, I was not there. When I eventually returned, I found that the pipes in the laundry area, which had recently been installed, were disconnected and different machines were placed. And the way that the machines were installed were such that the water flow from the washing machine was blocked. And I saw no way of how the process was going to be reversed to allow water to flow. You know, for me, that dream was a warning. It seemed to have a double message. On the one hand, there was a message of abundance. On the other hand, there was a caution about readiness to receive from God. You see, God is constantly trying to grab our attention. He's constantly trying to draw a picture, constantly trying to communicate a message, have a conversation with us about our lives and how we're meant to interact with Him and the role that our lives play in the kingdom of God. Constantly. He communicates differently with each one of us, but one thing we know for sure is that He does communicate. How many of you believe or would say confidently that God speaks to me? Can I get a God speaks to me, right? Not everybody raised their hands, and that's not a surprise because a lot of us as Christians struggle with that. It's not that God doesn't speak. It's just that we struggle to identify how it is He's speaking to us. And sometimes we're confused about, am I really hearing God, or is it the devil, or is it myself? Right? People struggle with that. In Matthew chapter 25, we see a continuation of a message that the Lord Jesus has been putting across to His followers. So in the previous chapters, before 25, we see this message about diligence and being alert. And Jesus was having a conversation with His disciples about the end of time. And He talked about what it would look like. And He explained that no one knows but the Father. Nobody knows the time or day. Then He started to give analogies about the kingdom of God and how it was like a faithful servant who knew what to do when his master instructed him. And that when the master returned, the servant was still doing what he had been told. And about how one would stay alert all night if he knew that the thief was coming in the night. So that was previous chapters to the chapter I'm going to share. which is Matthew 25, verse 1 to 13. It says, at that time, I'm reading from the NIV, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long way in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Firstly, I want to talk about to oil or not to oil. To oil or not to oil. Now, if you're a student of literature, right, you would recognize that, because, you know, we know about William Shakespeare, right, and how there was this phrase of to be or not to be. And he was reflecting on the circumstances of his life and contemplating whether it was really worth having a life or not, living or not living. Hence the phrase to be or not to be. Today I'm asking the question of the oil. Is it important to carry oil or is it not? To explore this, we must look at the difference between the two sets of virgins, the wise and the foolish. However, before looking at this difference, we must also focus on the fact that these 10 virgins, although there was a significant difference between them, on the surface, they had more in common than what we often pay attention to. So, what was the similarity between the two, and what was the significance of the similarity? Number one, both went out to meet the bridegroom. Both sets. Same mission. Same expectation of a bridegroom. Secondly, both took their lamps in preparation to meet the bridegroom. So they had a same understanding of the value of taking the lamps. They both knew to do that. What was the purpose of the lamps? It was customary among the Jews for the bridegroom to come to the house, the bride's home, in the night, and the bridesmaids or the virgins were to light the way to the house for the bridegroom. Now, the other thing we know is that both groups were faced with the same challenge. And that's what I really want to hone in on today. They were faced with the same challenge. And the challenge was this. The bridegroom took longer than expected. So possibly what happened was they grew weary. They grew discouraged. And eventually, something happened to both groups. They became drowsy and they fell asleep. I wonder if that's something we can relate to. We've been waiting. We've been talking about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, singing his praises. But every now and then, some of us, if not all of us, become drowsy and sleepy because we become discouraged. We've been waiting for so long for God to come back or for God to do something in our lives. And when we don't see those things happening, we get discouraged. Next, we hear that there was a midnight cry. At midnight, it says, the cry rang out. "Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. Now, one thing that God revealed to me about the dream that I had, about all the goods that were there, was that God has much to deliver to me. I have been given multiple gifts, and so have you. You have been given multiple gifts. There's an abundance that is upon us as the children of God. But I was asleep. And because I was asleep, I was unable to open the door to receive the gifts that God had lined up. I was unable to welcome the one who delivers. Sometimes God wants to come and deliver us, but we are unable to open the door because we are asleep. We are not alert to what God is doing. I wonder, what does that look like? I'd like you to just reflect on that. What does that look like for you personally? Are you awake when he comes knocking? Years ago, and some of you may have already read this book, I read the book Lioness Arising by Lisa Bevere. And she talked about the church and about the church being dangerously awake. As the bride, the church is the bride of Christ, and that the bride should be dangerously awake. Next, I want to talk about one man for himself. It says that the foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." No, they replied. They refused because they said there might not be enough for us and for you. You know, one thing you'll hear toddlers say is, or kindy kids, they'll say, "Share." And it's often with a frustration because there's an expectation that what is yours is mine. And sharing is caring. Sometimes as Christians, we can live with that mentality. They believe that your faith is my faith. Your devotion is my devotion. Your time spent with God is my time spent with God. But the reality is this. In his letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verse 12 to 13, the Apostle Paul writes this. This is the reality. "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." It says, continue to work out your salvation. You see, we're saved by grace. But once we are saved, we have a responsibility to maintain a relationship with God. It's a responsibility. The extra oil is going to cost you something. The extra oil is going to cost me something. Lastly, I want to talk about talk to the hand. Talk to the hand. That is slang that came up in the 90s, and the fool's saying is, talk to the hand because the ears ain't listening. Right? And I believe that that is what was said to those five foolish virgins. Talk to the hand. It says, but while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. It says, later when they came and said, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us," he replied, "Truly, I tell you, talk to the hand." The actual text says, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you." You see, back to my dream, because I was not available, when I did not show up, I found the pipes were disconnected. And the water flow from the washing machine was blocked. You see, pipes are a vehicle. They're a vehicle. And it says that the vehicle that makes the water flow, the thing that makes the gift operate, the pipes, the vocals, the voice that allows the flow of the Holy Spirit was silenced. I'd like you to think about that for yourself. That when you don't show up when you're supposed to show up, your voice will be silenced. That's what will happen. Sometimes there are things not happening in our lives and we're wondering why. I would suggest that maybe we need to check ourselves. We need to check ourselves in terms of, are we actually present? Are we actually alert, or are we asleep? Now, this is not a word of discouragement, because remember, the series is encourage. So I'm not trying to discourage, but I'm trying to put it out there that we have a responsibility. So to answer the question, what was the major difference between the wise and the foolish virgins? What stands out in this story is the fact that one group was prepared and had what was needed for the occasion, and the other didn't. In service of the bridegroom, they needed the oil. They needed that extra oil, because the oil sustains the light of the lamp. The light makes the path visible for the bridegroom in this text. The oil enables us to prepare for the coming of our Lord Jesus. You see, the foolish virgins, it's not that they didn't have any oil. It says they didn't carry extra. So as Christians, it's not that we don't have what is needed. It's that we have not created room for the extra. We have not created a space. We have not set up an atmosphere for later on when we need that. Some of us are still operating on our grandparents' faith, or trying to, or our parents' faith, or a word that was spoken 20 years ago. Now, word of God never expires, but for some of us, sometimes we hold on to things that happened many years ago. We'll talk about what God did 10 years ago. But where's the fresh word of God? Where's the fresh move of God in your life? Because God is constantly wanting to commune with us. In the last 2 weeks, we heard that we were created for good works. We also heard that the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. Today, we're hearing that we need to be prepared in order to be ready for when the bridegroom comes. As the church of Jesus Christ, we must live our lives ready. You see, we have Christ who lives in us, so we need the presence and power of the Holy Spirit to focus us. Now, I said a lot of things in just that short time, but I would like to know, just from your perspective, if I was to say, what's the one word you're taking away, what would you say? One word. Anyone? Love? One word. Preparedness. Light. Brother Dovin, pardon? Courage. Okay. Preparation. Okay. So, I'll summarize it for you. The word is this: beware that although Almighty God has gifts before you, you must be awake. You must be open to the flow of the Spirit of God, lest you risk blocking what He has purposed to do in the Spirit. Watch the debris in your own life and step aside. Actually, I skipped something. A river channel can be blocked by debris. A river channel can be blocked by debris. All sorts of things can block it. So watch the debris in your own life and step aside and allow God's Spirit to flow through you. This morning, I'm glad there's not a big group, because this is more intimate. I really would like to pray for specific areas, but I also would really like to pray for everyone. That's what I'd really like to do.